This week marks 11 years since the U.S. went to war with Iraq. On March 17, 2003, then-President George Bush went on television to address the world.
Saddam Hussein and his sons must leave Iraq within 48 hours. Their refusal to do so will result in military conflict, commenced at a time of our choosing.
About 48 hours later, U.S. troops entered Iraq and bombs were falling on Baghdad. On that day, March 19, 2003, we took your phone calls. Our listeners reflected on the impending war. Many were serving in the military, had family members in the military, or had been out protesting against the war. Here's a listen back.
When I look at my grandkids and I look at the world, I'm just so sorry that this is the direction that our country's taken right now.
I know and I understand and realize that it's people's patriotic choice to dissent and express their free opinion if possible, but anything and everything that goes on that's non-supportive of the troops is just basically hurtful of America at this point in time.
I don't like the fact that we're being made to feel that we're not patriotic or that we're traitors if we do not support this current policy.
I have friends who helped after the Gulf War, and they took care of the Kurdish people who had been gassed and used blister agents against them and all sorts of nasty things. And people sit here at home and they say, we have to have peace. Well, there isn't peace there.
A diversity of opinions from listeners in 2003. As we know now, hundreds of thousands of Iraqi civilians and thousands of American troops died in the Iraq War. U.S. soldiers have pulled out of the country, but how is Iraq doing today, 11 years later? Ned Parker is Baghdad bureau chief for Reuters. He's been covering this conflict since 2003. He's in Iraq now, reporting on the battle that's breaking out in Iraq's western Anbar province. 2 years ago, Ned Parker wrote in Foreign Policy magazine that Iraq had become, quote, something close to a failed state. I asked if that description rings true today.
I think so. It's much worse today, Iraq's problems, than 2 years ago. And really, it's not just even Prime Minister Nouri Maliki's fault. It's the fault of the whole political class and their inability to deal with the substantive issues that have really divided Iraq since 2003, which are matters of reconciliation based upon what happened in Saddam Hussein's time. And since then, the country has been through a civil war. And all of this allows for different groups to exploit the weakness of the state. The Sunnis, for instance, their resentments festered. They had a protest movement last year to try to get some of their rights. That went nowhere. And today, rather than find a political resolution, you have in Anbar province to the west, which borders Syria, basically the two critical cities within Anbar in different forms of revolt or battle with the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant and other Sunni armed factions fighting with the Iraqi military, and 380,000 civilians displaced.
Well, let's step back to that first point, reconciliation, to remind our listeners, Saddam Hussein was a Sunni Muslim, correct?
Yes.
And so it's his party that was on the outs. The Sunnis were supplanted by Shiites, which is what Nouri al-Maliki is.
Right. And I mean, in many ways, that's the great tragedy of Iraq, because you get into these debates of how much are Iraq's problems sectarian and religious identity. And I mean, there is, an Iraqi national identity that Iraqis who are Sunni and Iraqis who are Shia believe in. And you have intermarriage and you have tribes that are mixed. So it's not so black and white. And if you talk to a Sunni Iraqi, he will say as well that I suffered under Saddam. He ruined our country. He had disastrous wars. He destroyed our economy. I have not been able to live. And if you talk to a Shia, he will say the same. And there are many Iraqi Shias and Sunnis who are friends, as well as the familial relations we've talked about. The problem is that these feuds turned into something far uglier that became the Iraq Civil War a few years down the line. And of course, you know, invisible groups came in to try to exploit these divisions that were within Iraq, Al-Qaeda, Zarqawi, the neighboring countries, And this created new developments and new problems. So it wasn't necessarily that the Shiites and Sunnis of Iraq were bound to destroy each other, they were bound to hate each other. Not so. I mean, there's always been an element of sectarianism in Iraq, but there are also points where the sides unite and actually share a common heritage, family, etc.
I'm talking with Ned Parker, who's Baghdad bureau chief for Reuters. You have written about the ongoing corruption and the role that plays, about secret torture and bribery. Is there anything positive that has happened in the past 11 years since the U.S. Invaded Iraq?
I mean, I think what's fascinating about Iraq is that amidst great despair, great violence, and real mismanagement of Iraq's resources by the government, by the political elite within the government on all sides. But despite that, there are differences. I mean, people today have access to information on the internet and television, and it's not a controlled society. And completely. I mean, it's how one wants to define control. Today, one has to worry about militias, the government, al-Qaeda. There are different things that force you to conform and be afraid. But at the same time, you really do have access to information. And the young generation, perhaps, is the hope for change. But will they have the time to thrive? Will they be given the space to create something different, or will they be sucked in and submerged by this poisonous political culture that's on top?
Well, last question. Iraq is scheduled to hold elections next month, April 30th. What do the people that you've spoken with expect to happen?
I think when we look at Iraq today, it's going through a very trying and dangerous time. The last elections in 2010 were a moment of hope. Violence had been, you know, on the downswing. It had gone up slightly, but mainly Iraqis felt that they were over, you know, they had overcome a period of sectarian conflict, civil war, and politicians, prime minister, and his rivals were all trying to appeal to this idea of a common Iraqi nationalism, something all could believe in. And really, you could have the election in most parts of the country relatively safely. Today, we're looking at a country where sectarianism is on the upswing. Political elite are all running based upon religious identity. And you have a war going on in western Iraq, in Anbar province. That's a stalemate where the government's not winning. And you have really chaos among the Sunni sides that are fighting. And extremist groups like the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, which is, you know, sprung from Qaeda, are now also have momentum in terms of mounting attacks in Sunni areas of the country, to the north, to the east. Militias, again, are on the ascent. So that really, particularly in the Sunni areas, it's hard to imagine that you can really have people feeling they can come out and vote freely without fear. On top of that, I really feel most Iraqis are deeply disappointed in their leadership and upset and angry at where their leaders have taken their country, that they haven't built something for a place with so much oil that they're now in a limbo where easily the country could be in a civil war again. It's profoundly disconcerting and upsetting.
That's Ned Parker. He's Baghdad bureau chief for Reuters, reporting from Baghdad. This is The Record with David Hyde. I'm Marcy Silman.